Torah Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I want to talk to you this morning on Christmas, specifically on the subject of making the most out of Christmas. Making the most out of Christmas. Now, for so many people, making the most out of Christmas simply means being able to find the best gifts at the lowest price. For some, it's just a nostalgic feeling, you know, about family. Now, it is funny that I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, how you ask people about Christmas and you tell them, hey, what is Christmas about? And the first thing that pops out of most people's mouth is family. And have you seen the commercials for like TJ Maxx and the chain of stores? If you see the commercials on TV, that's exactly what they say, is family. And if you go to any other commercials on TV, you'll notice that most of them end up saying family, which I have nothing against. I love spending Christmas with my family. I do that every year if I can. But necessarily we know that the focus is not upon just being together as family. For some people, it's just a matter, I mean, how you notice how the atmosphere changes? Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. You hear it on the malls and stuff. Instead of here comes Christ the Lord, here comes Christ the Lord. You know, we ought to be changing those carols around. But you hear all this stuff and you're walking through the malls. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. And you're walking like, oh, it's Christmas. And you bump into people, oh, Merry Christmas. It's like you're in a dazed and confused world where, you know, all of a sudden people get mellow. You go to Walmart and, you know, around here in New Orleans, tourists and other people kind of get a little weird when they're called baby, right? Because we all like, no worry, baby. I got you, baby. How you doing, baby? You know, everybody's a baby around here. I don't know if it has to do with king cakes or whatever. But everybody a baby around here, right? Do you notice that? And some tourists and people kind of get like, whoa, there's all this baby and stuff. But think of baby Jesus then, you know, during Christmas, baby. You know, so it's kind of a shift of focus or something. Some people are just thinking about the invitation to the Christmas party or the gifts exchange that they've been included in. I've seen some of those, even on Facebook, people like, hey, we want to do a gifts exchange. You want to participate from distance, people in other countries and getting together through Facebook to kind of do a gifts exchange. I'm like, that's pretty cool, but what is the focus here, right? What are we focusing on? So Luke, the medical professional, the doctor, gives us in the gospel here in chapter 2 kind of an account of a rather not so significant group of people. These folks, the shepherds. And he teaches us about how to make the most out of Christmas through them. You see, when they heard the message, when the shepherds heard the message, they didn't just rush to celebrate it at the local Bethlehem bar or the, you know, the shepherd's party having shepherd's pie, you know, by the side of the mountain and with the flock, you know, they didn't immediately think about, oh, let's just do a gift exchange, right? No, they made the most out of Christmas, and we ought to follow their example. But I want to read in Luke chapter 2. And I don't want to read the whole chapter, but let's just read in verses 15 through 20, which is the reaction, pretty much the reaction after the angel speaks to them. But since I love this story so much, I just have to go back. Verse 8, let's read from verse 8. I wanted to read from verse 15, but I just can't. This story, I love it. Check it out. Verse 8, starting in verse 8, chapter 2. Okay, we got it? Yeah. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. He says, do not be frightened. Just the angel said, do not be fearful. Do not be scared. All right, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I hate it when pastors do this. I hate pastors. Well, I don't hate them. I hate when they do this. Some big evangelical, theological, whatever you call them, masters and teachers of the word, always hone in and say, well, there was no singing. We always talk about the angels saying, you know, angels we have heard on high, swiftly singing o'er the plain. They weren't singing. They say that there's nowhere there that says we're singing. It says that they were praising. I don't know about you, but when I get into praising mode, I start singing, you know. That's what I'm talking about, you know. I don't care if it doesn't say that they were singing or whatever or not. I'm going to sing. I don't care what people say. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I get excited about Jesus, I want to sing about Jesus, right? Amen. Yeah. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men among whom he is pleased. Man, that's some reason to be joyful and sing. When the angels have gone, and check this out, this is what I want to get to. When they had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, wait a second. Let us think about this. Let's spend the rest of the night thinking about it. No, check it out. Immediately, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered and at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing that is richly in our hearts through this word. Amen. Now, let's think about this, because there's a few things here that we can think about. I'm going to give you four C's that you need to do to make the most out of Christmas. The first C is calculate it. Calculate it. I want you to think about this, because in the first couple of verses here, 15 and 16, it says that after the angels went away, the shepherds began saying to one another. You know, they start, you know, let's do this. You know, they were encouraging one another. They were thinking about it. Let's go check it out to see what happened. And they went in a hurry. So think about it. You see, the first thing I want you to check out that these shepherds did for themselves is that, and actually, let's think about them. They're a lowly people among society. Shepherds were among the lowliest people in society. By the way, because they worked with the animals and they were out in the open so much, they were considered unclean. Ceremonially unclean. They couldn't get near the temple. They couldn't get near the synagogue. So you think about this. Here are the men who tend to the sheep which are used for the sacrifice. And they couldn't even get close to that. They tended the sheep. They fed them. They sang to them. They put them to sleep. They took them to waters. They walked and went to the hills and back and forth, up and down. And then they had to turn them over or sell them or whatever. And all the people brought them to the temple because you're not clean enough to come by the temple. Wow. Yet. They were so far away from their families most of the time and spending the night watching over them out there. That was a rough job. Yet, what about us? Are we so clean? Are we so good? Are we so close to God? No, we were not.
That's why God had to come and visit us on earth, because we were so far and estranged from him. We were not, and we are not, cleansed by our own righteousness so that we may be even think about him. Think about getting closer to God. Just like those shepherds, we also need the good news from the Savior, or about the Savior. See, that's, we don't deserve the goodness of God, do you? We don't. We don't. They didn't either. They were considered outcasts. And so are we in the sight of God. But yet he says, you know what? I will come and I will visit you, and you just believe me. So the announcement was for the shepherds, but the announcement's also for us. I want you to think of Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4. A lot of controversy with this verse also, because some say that, not this one, but the next one I'm going to show you. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I mean, and actually the word care also can be translated where the word visit. So you think about it. And the son of man that you visit him, or that you care for him. Who are we that he should be mindful of us? Right? Have you ever heard that song? Who are we that you should be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking my way? Wow. What is it? God loves us so much, right, that he would come and visit us. So go check it out. Check it out this Christmas. Take some time to check it out. Check out the story of Christmas. I don't know if you do this, but I love doing this. Every Christmas season, I read all the accounts about the birth of Jesus. Everything I can find on the prophecies of Jesus in Isaiah, and everything I can find in the Gospels about Jesus' birth, I read it through during the month of December and reread it and reread it. And I love reading the story. And it's like I read the same thing every year. Yes, I do. And it's just lovely. You got to check it out. Can you imagine? You see, the night had begun like any other night for these shepherds. All of a sudden, the heavens burst open. Oh my goodness, and the light of God shone upon them. And good news of joy, this good news of joy that I bring you. The angel said, a Savior has been born for you in Bethlehem. Now immediately, these shepherds, they calculated it. They said, you know what? We need to go check this out. We need to go get it. We need to go see it. We need to be there. So they rushed up the mountain or down the mountain. I don't know. But there was a bunch of hills there. And they went to Bethlehem and found exactly what they were seeking, the sign that was given to them. You know, how can we make the most out of Christmas? Check it out. Read into it. Meditate upon it. You know, put it in your calculator. Add it all up. It should add up. See, and do it in a hurry. Don't waste time. The shepherds in verse 16 says that they, in a hurry, went to check out what they had heard. So don't, and what happened is that they went and they actually found him. Now, I want you to follow this, because this is very important. When the three wise men heard or found the star or whatever, they followed the star. They had a sign. They had a star to follow. The shepherds didn't have anything. Look at the sign that they were given. There's going to be a baby laying in a manger. So we got to look all over town and all the stables and all the caves and everything where they keep animals to see if we can find this baby? It's dark, They didn't have a sign like the three wise men had. They really had to calculate this. They probably were going like, you go down that street, I'll go down this street, and we'll meet up around the block. If not, use your GPS. Find each other out. Wow. So they really had to go out and do the work to find him. You see, and maybe that's exactly where you find yourself in this season. Maybe you're in a darkened place and you need to work yourself out of it to find the good news that has been given to you, the sign that Jesus came for you. And he can save. He is mighty to save. Amen? All right. So then let's check it out. Let's add it up. Put it on your calculator. Number two, not only calculate it, contemplate it. Contemplate it. Look at verse 17. And then when they had seen these, When they had seen this, they made known the statement. You know, when they had seen everything, they told them, oh, wait a second. Let me tell you guys what happened. We were out in the fields, and this angel showed up, and then all of a sudden, all kind of praise broke out in the heavens. They started telling. They were like, oh, my goodness, and they were contemplating Jesus and the scenery. They were retelling. This is amazing. And then everybody was wondering, you know, in wonder and in awe about what the shepherds were telling them. And Mary says, Mary treasured all of these things in her heart, and she pondered them. Yeah, don't worry, it's okay. It's just the Christmas we're celebrating, amen? Some of you got scared there. You all right? Okay, let's do it again. Now, I want you to think about this, because not only you have to check it out and look at the story and think about it, calculate it. Think about the greatness of the story, but also you need to contemplate it and pray. You need to meditate upon it. Take time to prayerfully think about the story of Jesus Christ coming to visit us. Look at Mary. She says she kept all of these things in her heart, and she pondered in her heart. I mean, it's like something really deep inside her. This is amazing. Giving it prayerful and deep thought of what it means. What does Christmas mean to you? You know, one of the things that we can start doing, instead of complaining like sometimes I do, instead of complaining what people do during Christmas and how Christmas is lost in the meaning of Christmas, maybe I should make it meaningful personally in my own life. And just think about it, ponder on it, pray about it, and share with others. Whoa. Tell my family how much Christmas means to me. It's okay. You can spend time with family during Christmas. It's all right. I'm not condemning that. But what I'm saying is, make it meaningful by making it a Christmas meeting, okay? You make room in your heart to keep and ponder. You make room. Don't just let Mary do that. You do that too. Perhaps, you know, some of us, it's been a long time since we gave Christmas a serious thought. The coming of Christ and what it means to you and I personally. So in your private time, in your devotional and quiet time, ponder upon these things. Think about it. Treasure them in your heart. Contemplate the true meaning of Christmas in your life. Contemplate it and take advantage, because this is a wonderful time. You see, some people think that Christmas, coming to a special program at church, that's enough Christmas for them. You see, the rest of the time is just something else. And some people just think like that. They're just like, well, I went to church. I went to see the play. I went to a Christmas service or a Christmas Eve service or whatever, a Christmas morning service and Christmas service and all that. But you do no service to yourself if you don't ponder, if you don't think, if you don't contemplate, if you just stand there mesmerized in awe and in wonder of what God has done for you and me in sending his son to be born of a virgin to become our Savior here on earth and forevermore. Amen? That's the heart of Christmas right there. Number three, celebrate it. Not just calculate it and contemplate it for yourself, but also celebrate it. Yes, it's okay to have a Christmas party. And by the way, you can invite your family. Amen? Yes, you can have a party. Yes, we should be having a party. Look at this. In verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I mean, they were praising and glorifying God. And they were told to do this. You see, just as what? Just as it was had been told them. You see, the angel said, go. There's a Savior for you out there. It's good news. It's good news. And I'm going to say something about that in a second, and I just won't want to get ahead. But we need to celebrate it. They returned glorifying and praising God. What more can I say? This is a time of singing and celebration. There's a little Christmas carol. I don't know if I call it a carol. I don't know what to call it. It's in Spanish, and it's a little song that a guy from my country wrote last year. And that song has grabbed my heart in such a way. I cry every time I hear it, and sometimes I'm in the car and hear it 7 or 8 times. And this, I've been doing this since before Thanksgiving. Because to me, Christmas starts immediately. You know, it's like, wow, Christmas just comes on and takes hold of me. And I just start. And I've been singing the same song and the same song and the same song. And it has a special meaning in my heart. And I just love it. You know, it's like I celebrate it. I be singing it loud because I love Christmas. And you can tell, right? This morning we were singing Christmas songs. And kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
We need to be glorifying and praising God. I mean, you can feel it. You can't tell me that you can't feel it, that this is a time when the atmosphere gets filled with something, some type of essence, something different. They just kind of, people greet each other with smiles and stuff, right? I love saying Merry Christmas. You guys know that. And I tell it to everybody. I go everywhere. I tell the cashiers everywhere. It's like, Merry Christmas. And if they didn't hear you, did you hear me? Merry Christmas. And they look at me like, okay, sir. Like, what's wrong with that old man? I'm like, Merry Christmas. That's what's wrong with me. You know? Yeah. You know, but the funny thing is that you see people get into this atmosphere. People are wearing Christmassy stuff because they kind of like it or whatever. They feel funny or whatever. They look funny too. And then you see people who are with these smiles and greeting each other and saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays because they're not allowed to say Merry Christmas, whatever. But then all of a sudden, I know what that means to me anyway. But you see, the thing is that most of them are not even true believers. And you can see the change in their. You see something that's changing, something different, right? Now, if that happens among non-believers, how much more should it be among us who say, believe in Christ? You see, God inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says, it says it in a kind of a different way. And this is one of those difficult verses that, this is another one of those verses that I told you earlier before, but I got ahead of myself. This is one of those verses that most people say, well, that's not what the Bible says. But I want to show it to you in Psalm 22 in verse 3. Now, yet you are holy, talking about the God of Israel. O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Okay? It says that he is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Some people say, some Bible scholars say that what it really says there is that you who are enthroned, listen. You listen to the praises of Israel. Some others say, oh, you who are enthroned, you dwell in the praises of Israel, or you inhabit in the praises of Israel. Well, you know what? When you think about it, The reason why we get so excited about true worship and praising and glorifying God is because he dwells in us. Amen? So therefore, and then the Bible says that even the Holy Spirit intercedes when we go before God, right? So guess what? He is in it, on it, all over the place. Amen? Whether people say that he doesn't inhabit, he just listens to it. Well, he's listening and he is living in it with us. Amen? So you got to believe that. Yes, he does. You think about it. But when you walk through the crowded malls and you hear the sound system, what you hear is all these carols and everything. It fills the air. And like I said, you hear that. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Every time I hear that now, I'm going to start remembering. Here comes Christ the Lord. Here comes Christ the Lord. Right? Yeah, he's the one that came. He's the one that truly came for us, right? It's like, I don't know. I just love it how people don't believe, or they're non-believers, but they want to celebrate it anyway. You know, they want to be part of the celebration because it means getting a gift, right? It means having fun. It means party. But I heard the story of a lady who was organizing a Christmas party for a civic association for her community, and she said, well, I got to think of some songs and stuff for the party. So she decided to include the local pastor and talk to him about, you know, what songs and things they could sing for Christmas, right? And he sent her an email with a list of Christmas hymns and songs, all kinds of stuff that they sang at the church. And when she looked at the email, she said, wow, why are all these songs so theological? Hello, Christmas is about Christ, right? And that's the problem, that we want to have Christmas without Christ. That is impossible. If you don't have Christ in Christmas, then it is not Christmas, amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody knows about that. He inhabits the praises of his people. And I pray that God may grant us the grace that we truly celebrate Christ every season and every day, amen? And last but not least, circulate it, circulate it, circulate it. All right, so I said calculate it, contemplate it. What did I say? Celebrate it, and now circulate it. Tell other people, go tell it on the mountains. You know, in Spanish, when you say go tell it on the mountain, it sounds like go tell it to the mountain. And when we were practicing this last Wednesday, we were practicing the song in Spanish. I'm like, okay, guys, we need to be clear about this. We're not singing to the mountain. We're singing at the mountain, okay? So let's just make sure we don't say, go sing it to the mountain. Because the mountain ain't going to receive Christ. All right? So the mountain ain't going to listen. So, but we need to tell somebody. Don't go tell it to the mountain. Go tell it on the mountains. This means go tell it so that everybody, right? Well, if you want to do something from atop a mountain, it's because you want to be seen, you want to be heard. Amen? And that's the thing. We need to circulate it in a way that people will hear it, that people will see it. You see, the shepherds became witnesses of this great and awesome, unique event. A little kid was walking with his dad, and his dad was a business owner. He had a local store, and as they were walking down the street, they encountered another businessman who has another store a few blocks down, friend of his dad, and they started talking, oh, my friend, how is business? Business is great. This Christmas has been awesome. And he said, you know what? This has been the best Christmas, the best Christmas. And after they started walking, the little kid says, Dad, what did you mean by that? What do you mean this year is the best Christmas? He says, son, we have broken the record of sales this Christmas. This has been the best Christmas. We've had the best business we've ever had during the season. He's like, really? I thought the best Christmas was the first one. Hello? When Jesus was born. Amen? That's the best Christmas. You got to tell people about that Christmas. Not just any Christmas, amen? Because without Christ, it ain't Christmas. They began circulating the good news. They made it widely known. They were telling everybody what had been said to them about this child. You see, good news are only good if you tell them. What good is good news if they don't get told? Does that sound right? That's weird saying that kind of thing. See, good news are only good if you tell them. You may give your family and your friends and everybody else great gifts this year and many gifts. And the greatest gift that you could ever give anyone is to actually go and tell it on the mountain and tell people how much Jesus loves them and the reason why this right here is the story of all stories. I'm going to tell you this experience, and I don't know if I'm going to risk it. Because now that we're live on Facebook, somebody might be listening and not get in trouble. But you know that I try to travel during December, during the Christmas time, to see my family and spend it with them. Well, every year I try to bring something different. You know, because I'm the pastor, so they expect something, right? So, you know, I've done candle lights. I've done, you know, all kinds of stuff and tricks and cartwheels, you name it, just to kind of be able to share the gospel with them. Half of my family is Christian, the other half is not. So I try to take advantage, and every year. And a couple of years ago, some members of my family asked me, well, we got it this year. We have the message. And I'm like, yeah. I went back and I said, okay, y'all got it. And these are some of my family members whom I don't know if they're Christians or not really. It's weird, so and they came up, the whole family came up, and with their children, they read this beautiful poem and all kinds of stuff and concluded and ended up with the same message that everybody hears. Christmas is about family and friends. Just like that. And that's all they talked about. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to say, shut up! Let me do this. But I took it, and I said, okay, Lord, there'll be another chance some other time. And it, you know, and everybody was like, oh, that was so cute. That was so awesome. Oh, thank you. And I was like, no, it was not. It was totally, totally way off of what Christmas is, but I'm not going to say anything. At least don't allow me to say anything because I'm going to mess it up. This family is going to break down now. It was bad. It was bad. Because Christmas is about Christ. Amen. And if you don't tell, it's only good news if you tell the good news, right? And the greatest gift you can share is those good news. That's the good news. Sharing it, right? We have a privilege, you know. Now, let me tell you something. Have you heard ever that in the Bible says that the angels wish. The angels wish that they would have the job that we have. Have you ever heard about that? The angels long to know what we know because we have experienced grace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, saving power. The angels have never experienced what it's like. And the message that they had, check it out. God sends the angel and says, hey guys, God sent me to give you news that you go tell the good news. And they step back into heaven. And they are messengers. Angel means messenger. Their job is to bring messages, to deliver news. And their job has been cut short. Because you now have the job that the angels would want to have right now. To go tell it on a mountain. Wow, circulate it. Isn't that something? We have the privilege that not even angels have right now. That we can tell the good news of Christ. We are the messengers. If you look at the word angel, it means messenger. We are angels here on earth. We are the messengers. We're supposed to be telling the message. You know, it's funny that when you look at a little story, Peter and John, they were walking through the city and they saw at the gate called Beautiful, this man who had been lame for 40 years, all of his life. And they came over and told him, pick up your things and get up and walk, right? The man starts walking. Everybody marvels. Everybody's like, whoa, what a miracle. But then the council in Jerusalem was like, well, we can't allow this to happen. They're going to create too much noise, and this is not good. So they call John and Peter. They call them into the council and start threatening them and saying, you can't be talking about this Jesus anymore. You can't be doing this anymore. You guys got to stop this or else we will take care of you. They were threatened, and they were, well, they were thrown in jail later, but you see, they were saying, this is what they were saying in Acts chapter, in Acts chapter 19 and 20. I want to read that. But before I read that, while they were there, the council was wondering, these are men that have no school. These are non-educated guys. These are like lowly men. But this is what they said. But you can tell they've been with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they weren't great men. They weren't educated or anything or the elite of society, but you could tell they've been with Jesus. Can anybody tell you've been with Jesus today? Wow, that's awesome, right? And then after they were threatened by death, this is what happens in verse 19 in chapter 4 of Acts. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you, rather than to God, you be the judge. Now you go ahead and judge me whether we should obey God or obey you. But for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And this is exactly what happened to those lowly shepherds in the hills. They just could not stop talking about what they had seen and heard. That's an amazing thing. What good news is it if it doesn't get shared, right? What better gifts can we give to people during Christmas than to proclaim and to tell them about what we have heard and seen with our own spiritual eyes? See, the shepherds made the most out of Christmas. And so can you and so can I. We can go ahead and we can calculate it. We can check it out. We could be on it, meditating upon it, marveling at it. In wonder and in awe, we could be glorifying God. We could be celebrating it, but not keeping it quiet by circulating it and telling other people. Some of us here may need to hear the good news. Some of us here may need to share the good news. But let this be the season that we start doing that. Amen? For real.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented. A message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.